James chapter 1, verse 1. Oh, it's in the road. James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes scattered abroad, greetings. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have a perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that we will receive anything from the Lord. Many years ago, I looked at this verse and I wondered, verse 2, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations or various temptations or trials. It depends what book you read, but I used to read the old King James, and I never read anything else in those days. And I thought, what are you saying, Lord? How can I count it all joy when I'm having a rough time? But you see, the joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord is something that God plants within you. No one can take that away. You can give it up, but no one can take it from you because it's planted within your spirit. The joy of the Lord is within you. So when I looked at it, I looked at why. We can find joy in various trials of life we face when we recognize their purpose and see their results. James, in these verses, in his first chapter, he's concerned with the big picture. We don't see the big picture. We see what is now. We see what's going on in at the moment. We see what's in the past. But God's not interested in the past because he's forgotten it anyway. But we can only see the present. And as we see what we're going through, and I thought, well, Lord, how can we count it all joy? But the joy is that which God has given you. It's implanted in you. It's something that no one can take away from you. You can give it up, of course, but no one can take it from you because it's deep within your spirit. No, it's not deep within my mind, or it's not what my mind thinks. It's what God says and what God thinks and what he does. So the various trials are the small picture that you and I see. I do jigsaws at the home just to get people to try and be involved. At the moment, there's only two or three of us involved in it. But I pick a piece of jigsaw up and it looks absolutely useless and nothing. It might have a little bit of colour on that tells me where it fits in the big picture. And the trials and testings of our lives are exactly that. They're the little piece of jigsaw that goes into the big picture. Without that piece, if that piece is removed or someone picks it in their pocket and takes it away, the big picture's not finished. But God's looking at the big picture. So he says, when you're going through those small things that seem to be so big to you, remember you've got somebody bigger than anything you will face that's able to meet your every need. So there's purpose in those things, and the result of them brings the big picture to life, especially the results and what they accomplish in our lives and our walk with the Lord. The key to our problems is that we get the right attitude or the right perspective regarding them. We can look at them sometimes and get absolutely full of remorse and say, why should it happen to me? How many times have you said why to God? I've said it many times. And once I said why, and he said, I'm not going to tell you. Get on with things. Amen. get on and do what I want you to do. But leave the whys to me and get on with what you know you need to do. So the key to that we must, as Christians, think correctly about the problems, and as we do, we will grow and stronger through them. God's not out to break you. He's out to make you. He's out to give you and establish his life within you. He's established Jesus in you in such a way that when people take a load to you like they did of Peter and John, they said, oh, they must have been with Jesus because they're so like him. The illness that they diagnosed me with last December, which I believe the Lord's healed me of, the witness I've had regarding that in the home is absolutely phenomenal. I've hadn't been there since 2014, but over the last 12 months, I've probably witnessed to more people about what God has done in my life, because they keep saying, you're looking good, I was feeling good. Why, what's happened? So it gives me the opportunity to tell people what the Lord has done. We may not understand them, but we, by the Lord's help, battle through them. If we want to be strong in the Lord, we have to learn how to recognize our problems and learn how to deal with them in the Lord. Those you can't deal with, you leave to him. There's many I say to people, those things I don't understand, I put on the back burner. I don't know whether you've ever done that. I've read the scripture and thought, wow, it doesn't mean a thing to me. Put it on the back burner, and then somebody's come along and stood in the platform and said, today my scripture is, and bang, I think, whoa, what are you saying, Lord? Listen carefully to what he's saying. So it's how we deal with them. We need to contemplate or think about the things that we're going through. And look at what God can do. And he says, count it all joy. You count it all joy when you're going through real deep troubles. But let me tell you, the joy of the Lord is your strength. So as you count it all joy, so you get stronger and able to be taken through with the Lord himself. And as we contemplate and think on our problems, look to the Lord to give us the grace and strength to deal with them, we will find our faith is strengthened in the Lord. Paul says, what this thing that I've got a thorn in my side? I've got a thorn, Lord. Will you take it away? And God says, no, I'm not going to take it away. But I'll give you, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. So don't worry, don't think, oh, I'm too weak to carry the burden that's upon me at this time. I'm too weak. But let me tell you, the grace of God, the unmerited favor and mercy of God is yours. God never told us what Paul's thorn was. I'm glad he didn't, because I can then put the thorn that perhaps is of my life holding me down in a position where I don't get to think it's me. Yeah. How often do you say that? It's me. Verse 3 says, knowing the testing of your faith produces patience. Yeah. I remember being Andrew we were talking to, and he says, I need to be more. No, I don't want that because I'll have tribulation. But let me tell you, tribulation brings patience. And patience before God brings results that bring victory to our lives. So many, many problems are easily resolved, but there are others that we have to be patient in. I don't know all that I've gone through since my wife died in 2015. I was okay, no problems. I had no physical needs. I was fully fit. I was strong. Somehow in the 3 months after she died, it suddenly hit me. Don't know what hit me, but something hit me really hard. I finished up, I could hardly walk. I got cellulitis and all sorts of things. And I've had bed, breakfast and evening meal at DRI every year since. I say, oh, and then last year I thought, wow, I haven't been in, it got to December. I haven't had my bed and breakfast at the infirmary. Went whoom. I woke up one day and I couldn't breathe. They took me to the A&E and I was in there 11 hours. And then they made their diagnosis. And I said to the oncologist, I said, I don't care what it is, because I think I know what it is. But look, I'm not afraid of that because I'm a Christian. If the Lord takes me home now, good, I'll go to be with him. If he leaves me here, he'll be with me anyway. So through prayer, which you know all about, the Lord just touched my body, and quite frankly, I've never been the same, and I've never looked as well and felt as well as I feel now for many, many years. But we have to think about what. But you're knowing that the testing of your faith, if you know it's a test, you can trust. But you don't always know that. You think all sorts of other things. Some of our problems are really hard. And I don't say that glibly. Some of our problems are really hard. But nothing's too hard for the Lord to bring you through. And as he brings you through, so you'll be strengthened and helped in every way. And the Lord allows us to go through these things, not to break us, but to make us. To make us stronger in him. To make us appreciate him. Because he lives, we can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. The devil brings fear when these things come upon us. He tells us all sorts of things. He told me that when they first said that to me, I said to my daughter, what does it mean? What does he really mean? He says it means you won't live through to the end of the year. I said, well, we can see about that, won't we? We'll see about, because I used to say, I'm going to live to be 120. I used to say to Andrew, and then before ever I had any problems, I'm going to live to be 120, because that's where an old Caleb was. And I said to 85 when I was here, I said, give me that mountain. Amen. And I believe that if we have got a positive attitude to those things that come upon our lives and look beyond the problem and see the one that is able to meet every need, we can see one that sits upon the throne, reigns supreme. We've got global warming, bringing fears of this is going to happen, that's going to happen. We've got one who's got all things in hand, and he knows what tomorrow holds. But you see, he plans our lives, not for now. He plans our lives to take us to the place of perfection. And all these things that come into our lives, we can count it all joy, not because of the thing itself, but because of the fact that the Lord can bring us through and bring us into a place of recognition. The Lord, as I said, the Lord allows them not to break us, but to make us. The things that build us up, build up our faith and trust in the Lord. You can never get away from Proverbs 3, 5 to 6. No matter what you do, whatever happens, don't trust to your own understanding. Don't think you know what's wrong. Don't think that you're aware of what's going on. You may not be aware and you may not understand it, but trust in the Lord with all your heart. And all these things will be added unto you. When somebody said that to me, I said, well, not all things were added unto me, because there are things that it's not impossible for me to do. But God's not saying that. He's saying all the things that you need to be the person that I want you to be, I'll add unto you. It's no good saying to me, play the piano, because I ain't got a clue. But you ask me to do other things that are within the realm of my ability, and sometimes beyond that. God said, if we trust him, he will take us through. Sometimes we don't understand, but don't try to understand it, because to try and understand it, you are then leaning to your own thoughts, your own ways. We have to, in times of certain problems, do exactly trust the Lord with all our hearts. It's beyond our understanding, but what they do is help us to do it in what the scripture says. Trust in the Lord to help you through. Have you known everything that's happened in your life? Do you know any answer to it? I haven't. I've had things that I've had no answer to. I can remember once I went through an experience that only 10 years later, down the line, 10 years later, suddenly I met somebody that needed the help that experience I went through. I wouldn't have known anything about it if I hadn't have had that experience. I was able to help them and bring them to you. So it's often the problems that we face are beyond understanding. But what they do is they help us to trust in the Lord. If I trust in sitting on that seat, I don't examine it and look at it and think, oh, is it going to hold me? It'll hold me easily. Well, sometimes that's what we've got to remember with the Lord. We've got to trust him that when we do what he has asked us to do, when we trust him and lean not to our own understanding, he can do what we can't do. He can achieve in us what he wants to achieve by helping us through at that time. Through these times of testing, we grow stronger in the Lord and are able to help fellow believers in their time of testing. God takes you through times of trial, times of testing, times that you don't understand, but in the end, he's working in you something that ultimately will be for benefit of the kingdom of God. If we are patient in the time of testing, a perfect work will be done, and we are stronger for the experience. I'm stronger now from the experience I've just gone through. It's a miraculous thing that's happened, and I can't understand. In fact, I'm overwhelmed. I think to myself, wow, Lord, what have you done? Because I quite frankly, I have no feelings whatsoever, except when I cough, but that, I reckon that's a fractured rib which I got when I had a fall. But let me say to you, don't try and understand what's going on. Trust the Lord through it, and he will sometimes give you the understanding, but also he will also give you the power to come through. We need to have wisdom in dealing with our various trials. If we've got wisdom, it says, ask of God, verse 5. Verse 6. But let him ask in faith, but not doubting, for he who doubts is like the wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. Remember this, my brother and my sister. You've got the Lord's on your side, and he speaks to the wind and says, he tells it what to do. When the wind's blowing your vessel around and knocking you about a bit, remember that he's able to speak to the situation and change it on your behalf. Don't think you are wise in your own ways. Lean not to your own understanding. Don't lean on the things that you think you know, oh, I can solve this, because there are some things that we can't solve. God allows trials in such a way as to bring us through them. We will lack nothing when that happens. Who does not have times that when you lack wisdom? I wish sometimes I could go back 5 seconds and rephrase what I've just said, or rephrase what suddenly my human anger has risen and I've said things that afterwards I've regretted saying. That's my understanding. But if we lean not to our own understanding and lean on the understanding of God, he will take us through, and he'll bring us through things that we can't do of ourselves. Hindsight is easy. If we had hindsight, it'd be a lot easier. But we don't, but God does. He knows what tomorrow holds. We sang the chorus, didn't we? Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. You don't know what tomorrow holds, but he does. So he prepares you today for tomorrow. And sometimes you think, well, what are you doing, Lord? Why aren't I hearing your voice? Why don't I know exactly what I've got to do? Sometimes that doesn't happen. But when you hit the tomorrow, you hit against the brick, you come against that brick wall, you suddenly find that the one who's able will demolish the brick wall and take you through. And so we don't lack wisdom. Proverbs 3, verse 5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Amen. Not trusting with the things that you can't do yourself, but trusting with those things you think you can do, because he has a way of doing things that are far beyond what we can understand, and he does things which we don't. He does. You say to him, wow, I didn't think you'd do it that way, Lord. Habakkuk. He said to the Lord, he said, what are you doing? You're letting the people get away with this and get away with that. He says, I will bring a people that will bring them back into the fact that they need to follow me. And he said, I'll raise up the Chaldeans. He says, no, not those, Lord. Habakkuk wanted the Lord to answer his prayer, but he wanted him to answer it his way. God very often doesn't do that. He answers our prayers, yes, but he sometimes says no. He sometimes says wait. But let me tell you, he always answers prayer. And I thank God for the fact that he does. But he says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. You've got to put absolute trust in what he can do. We can't do it ourselves, but he can. But if we don't trust him, if we lack faith in him, we ask him for wisdom to trust him throughout the things, we find that we don't get the answers that we think we should have. But the answers are not there to make us more like me. They're there to make me more like Jesus. If you read Romans 8:29, I love Romans 8:28, where it says all things do work together for good. How does he do that? How does he make something that's awful, something that you almost can't face, he turns it around and makes it turn out for good for you? How he does it, I do not know. But one thing I do know is that he works, all things work together for good. The good and the bad, he works it together for good. Because in those things that happen to me, he produces something in me that nothing else can produce, only by going through and trusting in him with all my heart through that situation. So the Lord says, do not lean on your own understanding. Because we understand from a human point of view, but the things that we face are not human. Very often they're outside of the realm of our human thoughts. And only God understands what they're all about. But he gives us the power to be able to live and work and have our being in him and able to come through. So if you want to be in the place of lacking nothing, we have to stop thinking from a human perspective and start thinking from a godly perspective. James 1:5 says here, lack wisdom, ask. Well, we've often said it from the platform over the last few weeks. We have not because we don't ask. If we don't ask, God can't say, well, I'll answer your prayer. But if we ask, if we speak to him about the situation, ask him, he can indeed give us the joy that will take us through. Count it all joy. I used to puzzle it out. I used to try and think round it. I used to think, what's going off? But God has a way of changing things around on your behalf and my behalf with the future in view, not with now in view or the past, because the past he doesn't know about anyway, because he puts it behind his back, as I said before, never to remember it against us anymore. The past, it's no good saying to the Lord, what I did last week, Lord. You've asked forgiveness, he's forgiven you, he's forgotten it. We can't forget. The enemy knows that, so he tries to remind us of things that we've done wrong, with things that we may have made a mistake in. But someone said, when he talks about your past, talk to him about his future and leave it at that. Let God do the work in us. So James 5 says we need to ask of God, who gives to all liberally. We have a liberal God. We have a God that understands what we need. He knows how far we can go. He won't allow us to be taken beyond that which we can bear. But with every temptation or trial or testing, he makes a way of escape. Look for the way of escape. Very often the way of escape is to trust in the one that's able to meet your every need. So various trials will come our way. How we deal with them will determine our future development and growth. Remember, God will not test us beyond, I've said this before, but I bring it again. He will not test us above that which we can bear, but with every testing, make a way of escape. God will test us to our limit sometimes, but he won't go beyond our limit because he's not out to break us. He's not out to have us completely lost in the situation, and not able to find there's a way of escape The way of escape is to trust in the Lord with all our hearts. The way of escape is to see what God has to say about the situation and let him work out his purposes. We all want to do the will of God. I want to do the things that God wants me to do. I want to do the things that God desires for my life. I want to live my life in such a way that I do his will and his purpose. As a church, that's what we want as well. We want to touch our community in such a way as God wants it to be touched. But we won't always do it if we lean to our own understanding. But if we trust in the Lord to lead and guide and direct us, we will find that he will do what we need. God will test us to our limit. Don't understand where you are today. Don't try and think, well, what's really happening? The various trials seem so hard, but God is waiting for you to trust him. The things that you go through, you're going through, you've been through, God has always been there alongside you. You've never been alone. He says, I will never leave you nor forsake you, and I will take you through. Don't let the enemy steal your joy, because that's where your strength is. That's where the things that you need at the time of testing, that's where you need the Lord has for you. So God is waiting for you to trust him, waiting for you to come to him, asking him for the wisdom you need. And as he gives it to you, see that you as you receive it and come through the various trials, untarnished by them, but stronger and more valiant as a follower of Jesus. Going through trials is not a sign of weakness. Some people think, because he's going through it, he must have done something wrong. But very often, like Job, you've done nothing wrong at all. But the Lord has allowed it to come into your life to be able to develop and bring you into a place of knowing him in every way. It's also not a sign of weakness, but we come to God in prayer, asking for wisdom when facing problems you don't understand. He is the one that's got the answer. And it's only as in the by and by, in eternity, will we understand it all. But you know, when we get there, I don't think we'll be bothered about what happened down here, because we'll see Jesus. And when we see him, we'll be like him. And we'll come to the place of knowing him in a greater way than ever, and having a body like he's got, no pain, no problems, no difficulties, but serving him with all our might in the heaven itself. If we ask of God, we must ask in faith. Expect the Lord to answer your prayers. Expect him to do it. Don't think, he might do. And so some people say, if it's your will, Lord, they pray, if it's your will, Lord, do this and do that. When we pray, we've got to pray positive prayers. We've got to pray in a way in which we believe that God can answer those prayers. And as we pray, we expect him to answer. And once we ask God by faith, or expect him to answer, we must be patient and anticipate his answer to the problem that we are facing. Let God do the answering. Let God do the work. Don't tell God, ask God for something and then tell him how to do it. That's what some people do. If you'll do it this way, Lord, if you'll do it that way. Sometimes he uses some ways in which we've no idea how he could use such people. Habakkuk, he used the Chaldeans to bring about these purposes. And Habakkuk said at the end, though I've got nothing. Though there's nothing in the barn, nothing in the stalls, nothing being produced in the land, still I will praise my God, because I've got God. And you've got God on your side. You've got God working for you. And he's there bringing about his purposes within you. James is saying in these verses, there is no room for doubt. For if we doubt, it blocks the way that God wants to answer our prayers. But if we lack wisdom and we ask God in faith, he will give us the wisdom. He will give us the answers that we need at that time. They may not be the answers we want, the answers we think are right, but let me tell you, God is always right. He's never wrong. And he never has to change his mind. He never has to change his mind. We must expect God to answer, then let his answers through the wisdom that he's given us be imparted and into us and solve the problems that we're facing. How easy it is to ask God for his answer, then lean to our own understanding. You know, I've got a pain, Lord. I've got this problem. I've got that problem. I'm looking at this and looking at that. But if I do so and so, it could well solve it. And the Lord's saying, will you listen to my voice? Will you listen to what I've got to say through my word? This book is his word. In it is all we need for now, and it will also go with us into eternity. It's the only thing that will be up in heaven that we have today, and it's because his word, it never fails and it lasts forever. But God, when we ask of God, let's listen to what he has to say. Let us not try our way first and then fall upon God when it doesn't work. But let's get his answer to the problem. There is some problems we have no human answers to. They're spiritual, and they can only be answered by the intervention of God and the Holy Spirit. Too often we put human answers to spiritual problems and then wonder why they're not solved and they don't work. God will give us the wisdom, I believe, for those who ask him in faith, nothing wavering, and to them who anticipate God's answer. We must expect God to intervene, because some problems only God can give us the answer to. They cannot be answered from a natural point of view. One of the problems we face is that we do not fight human things. We fight against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places. We are no match for them of our own. But we're more than a match when the Lord's with us and alongside us, because he's overcome. He's never lost a battle yet. He's overcome every battle he's fought. And he took the devil on, took him to task on his own ground and came forth triumphant. He led captivity captive, gave the gifts to sons of men. Friends, our God is able, but we've got to give him chance, allow him to work his purposes out in us, that we can say that the verse 2, count it all joy. You can count it all joy, not because it's a joyful time, it's a happy time, but because the joy that God gives is their strength. And out of that strength, we can indeed come forth victorious. Remember that we only see the here and now, but God sees the future. Let's put our hand in the hands of the one who stilled the waters. Let's put our hands in the one that's able to take us through. Remember I was listening to someone singing once, and he said, the old Negro lady in the south of America, she says, brother, if the mountain was smooth, you couldn't climb it. But it's a rugged mountain. Though the path be rough and steep, fix your eyes upon Jesus, because he can keep you. Where the trials take you, where the temptation comes your way, he can keep you when you keep your eyes upon him. But once you start taking your eyes off him and looking at what you can do, it's sure to become failure. Remember, we see the here and now. God sees the big picture. You're part of the big picture of God in this place. And he wants you to fit your piece in the big picture. And then when you find that place, work to the best as you can. We heard a few weeks ago that we should work as heartily as unto the Lord. Do what you can, and let God do what he can. Put your hand in his hand, and he will lead you and guide you and direct you. And indeed, you will have joy in the time of trial. And you can count it all joy, not because of what you've done, but for what he's done. We can accomplish this by allowing him and to let him do his work in us and become what he wants us to be, like Jesus. Who do men see when they see you? I pray that they'll see Jesus, the one who is able to look back at things that are happening and say, because of the joy of the Lord, I had the strength to come through. Amen.